Welcome to The Hidden World of Women, a podcast brought to you by Women's Health and Wellbeing Services. My name is Emma and I'll be your host for today's episode. For our third episode in our Working Women series, I'm joined by an absolutely fabulous woman, this time on Zoom. I'm joined by Kitty. Kitty is a metal artist and she also has PTSD and agoraphobia. She is the mum to two human kids and has a beautiful staffie called Roxy, who she absolutely adores. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kitty.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. So it's a beautiful Sunday. We're together thanks to the wonders of technology, despite the fact that we're actually really quite close to each other in real life.
I know.
But gotta love it. You're a metal artist.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've been a metal artist now for 5 years.
So tell me what a metal artist is. Oh, I meant to say as part of your introduction that your child said that when you go to pick her up from school, you often look like you've just got out of a bin. Darn it.
I do. I look terrible at the end of the day. I've just really, it's a very dirty job. But yeah, she's got used to it now. And I think other people know what I do. They don't just think I crawl out of a bin. So we're all good now.
All good.
Yeah.
So tell me. So tell me what a metal artist is.
So basically a metal artist is somebody who just creates things out of steel. You can do abstract, you can do animals, you can do, there's just thousands of possibilities of what you can do. But metal art to me is my go-to when I want everything to just stop. I want the world to stop. I want to forget everything that's going on. And that's what it is to me. It might be different to other people.
Yeah. I was actually just saying to somebody the other day, it's amazing, isn't it, that when you do activities like this, you lose yourself, and it's amazing how through losing yourself, you find yourself.
You do. And you learn a lot about yourself as well.
Yeah. And I find that when you're focusing on, you know, on an activity like metalwork, you really need to pay attention, which means the mental chatter has to stop. Yeah.
Definitely.
So metal art is, stereotypically, it's not an activity that we generally associate with women. So how did you get into it?
So we had a gate that needed to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote was too much for us at the time. So we ended up purchasing a cheap little welder thinking we'd do it ourselves. The welder sat there for about 6 months. We didn't do anything with it. And then I ended up finding a short welding course. So we started doing that. And as soon as the hood went down, everything just switched off. And that's what just made me just love it.
Yeah.
5 years into it, the gate's still not fixed. It might get fixed one day, but I just absolutely fell in love with it.
So
I found my dream.
So you started at a welding course. Did you start making metal art, or like what? I don't even know what a welding course looks like. It's very embarrassing.
It was just at TAFE. It was a couple of days, and we were just learning how to weld steel together. So I ended up finishing school quite early, and I had a lot of trouble understanding things from teachers and all that. So I had a lot of trouble in that class understanding what was going on too. So the way I put it is I'm just welding two pieces of steel together. I'm just gluing it together, heating it up. That's it. So I didn't learn very much of the technical part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they run courses through there for boilermakers and all that sort of thing. So there were boilermakers in the class that I was actually doing. So I found it quite intimidating, but I was just there to just burn steel.
Yeah. And were you welcomed in the class?
Definitely. They were on a different level to me. I was very beginner. And I was kind of petrified of it at the start. It was quite intimidating. When I first welded, I forgot to put my hood down and I got flashed.
Oh.
Everything went really black and I burst into tears. I thought that was it.
I'm blind forever.
I'm blind for the rest of my life. Can't do anything ever again. My partner was in the next booth. I've opened up his booth and I said, look, I'm blind. He's just laughed at me and told me to go back in there. And yeah, so I was quite scared of it. I was really scared, thinking the worst. But the second time, it was just fantastic. Yeah.
How long were you blind for?
I was only like 10 seconds, but I got
Felt
myself
like
really
forever.
good, really good, really close to it. And yeah, I just remember hearing my dad, what he said to me, don't look at it because you'll go blind. So that's all I could hear. And I thought, oh, well, that's it. That's my dream gone. at least I gave it a try, but I just wasn't thinking clearly. I know, but I just wasn't thinking clearly. And I let that fear get to me. And yeah, so, but yeah, you won't go blind. Yeah.
That's actually really good to know.
Yeah.
So you started just gluing two bits of metal together,
Yep.
and that was 5 years ago. What was the first project that you worked on?
So I was actually trying to get work. So I fell in love with welding, and I just kept trying to find work, and I was getting offered apprenticeships for like $13 an hour, and I couldn't do that. So I ended up working with a sculptor. So the first things I started making were just laser cut flowers. So you've got laser cut machines and all that. We'll just have little extras. And you just put them together and you make little flowers and balls and all that sort of stuff. So it was just garden decorations that I was making at first. When I actually lost my job from there, so I came home and just started collecting scrap and just welding anything from nails, plasma offcuts, anything that I could find to try and find that creativity, because it took me a long time to find that as well. So I was just playing around with whatever I could find.
So you said that school wasn't a great fit for you. Were you somebody who's naturally creative?
No, I thought I was, but then when I came into this, I realized that I actually wasn't. I don't know if it's because it was steel. So I've always loved painting, just doing patterns and that sort of thing. I thought I was quite creative until I came into this, and yeah, I had to find that, which took quite a long time.
So, what made you think that you weren't creative when you came into this? Tell me more about that.
I think I just had no idea. So I couldn't, I know I'd seen a lot of recycled metal artists who use recycled pieces, and they just put things together and they can see it. I could never see that end product. And I think it took me about 2 years to be able to actually start seeing it. So if you can see that finished product, I can't draw anything like that, so I can't put it on paper, but I can see it. So yeah. If you can see it, you can create it.
So you now you can. So 2 years of kind
Now
of
I can.
practice with that.
Yeah, I'm very creative and I just can't switch off now though. Just can't catch a break. So there's so many things I want to make, but
There's only so many hours
everything.
in the day.
Exactly. Yeah.
So back to that first TAFE class, how many women were in the class with you?
I think there was one.
But regardless of the disparity with the numbers, no issue with that at all.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Everyone was great. Everyone was really supportive. It was a really good class.
Do you think they were more supportive because you're female?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think my teacher treated me exactly the same as everybody else. He was quite blunt, very blunt, and just treating me like everybody else. There was no, so they had a test at the end, and I found it quite intimidating because I didn't know. And he was getting quite, I don't know, he was getting a bit fed up with me, I think. And I could hear it with the other guys too. He was getting fed up with them as well. And I was like, oh no. But then it just made you feel like you were one of them anyway. That makes sense.
And the rest of the people in the class, they were all helpful and kind, supportive.
They knew I had no idea. So they'd come in and change my settings on the machine and have a laugh and all that sort of stuff. But if I was struggling, I asked them for advice, and yeah, they were more than happy to help.
And I think often it's that fear of, for a lot of people, well, not some people. Some people walk into a room and they don't care who's in there. For some women, they're like, oh, if there's no other women there, then it's not a space that I should be in. So it can be really intimidating going into a class like that where, it's in a male-dominated industry, there's no other women there, feeling like we do actually have the right to take up space in that arena.
I found it's different in that one. I was a tie fitter for years, and there were a lot of men that said, I don't want you doing my ties. So I found
Really?
that more in that. I get that quite a lot.
Did they give you any reason?
No, my boss just told, well, you have to go somewhere else then, because it she'll either do it or you just go find someone else who will. So
Oh, that's a brilliant boss, though.
yep, definitely. I've had two bosses and they said the same thing. So yeah, they knew I was capable.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of males just thought, no.
It's so weird. Yeah, I just kind of go, well, what difference does it make what gender you are if you're changing it, like changing tires?
I know. I don't know if they thought I was going to sabotage them or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I tell you
My
what, I'm
boss
much more likely to sabotage it if you decide to
is
tell me that you don't want me touching your
Oh, we've
car.
left. Yeah, we've left some men on the hoist up high. Don't worry. But they can't get back out of their car. But yeah, you can have a play around with it, but it doesn't make you feel the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like there wasn't very many of them, but yeah, it did hurt a little bit. I thought we'd moved on from those times, you know.
I think we have, and then something happens, and I think, oh no, look, we're still here. But
Yeah.
there's lots of progress happening, and try and focus on the pro I try and focus on the progress. So you went from the TAFE course. You were then doing garden flowers, and then you've just started learning how to be creative at home. So you, this is your workshop is at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how is that having your workshop at home?
It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. It's really handy, but then I can't switch off. I look out the kitchen window when it's there, so I can never switch off from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does have its good moments, but it'd be nice to just be able to lock it all away. So it's underneath my patio as well. And yeah, it would just be nice to be able to switch off. So one day I have a goal of getting my own workshop and just leaving my work at
At
work.
work.
At
Yeah.
work. Yeah.
But you are a full-time metal artist. This is your job. This is your gig.
Is my full-time job.
And so often what we hear is that art has to be a hobby or a side hustle. And I really struggle with the term side hustle. I think, maybe we could aim for flow rather than hustle. But anyway, that's a topic for another conversation. So what would you say to people who think that art has to be a hobby and you need a real job and then you can do this on the side?
Well, I think you have to be pretty realistic if you want to do this as a full-time job because it does take time. As a hobby, though, you can still be doing it after work and you can still turn it into a business. It'll be a smaller business, but you can still work weekends, you can still work after work, and there's plenty of places you can advertise, you can do consignment, you can do markets, and you can slowly turn it into a business. And then one day just quit your job and just do it. Just do it. But you do have to be a little bit realistic because it is a very expensive hobby. But just build yourself up and keep building yourself up. And if it feels right, you will get there.
How long did it take you to go from that first course to actually you were doing this as your full-time job?
So I actually did it as a hobby for 4 years, but I was doing 8 hour days every day. So it took me a long time to get the confidence to get myself out there, to put myself out there and turn it into a business
Yeah.
and to get that confidence. That was the hardest thing to find. Am I ready to do this? Am I ready to put myself out there? And it didn't go very well at the start.
I was going to
So,
ask, did you have any kind of negative experiences with it?
yeah, quite a lot. I think from turning it from a hobby and just hiding in my little bubble thing, and then putting myself out there, I got a lot of no's, like a lot. That's all I ever heard. And it's so disheartening. And then you're working with other business owners, and I don't know, it's a different thing. I thought the art world would have been like a hippie commune, like everyone was like really welcoming and encouraging. It's not, it's pretty brutal out there. I'm not gonna lie, that's my story, that's my opinion on it. But it's a competition and it's business. So you forget about that. You come into the art just loving it, but then you forget about those parts of it, that it is competition, it is a business, it's making money.
I think that's one of the things that people often don't think about when they have something that there is a passion for them and they want to turn it into a job, is that it's not just the part that you're passionate about. It's not just the part that is the fun bit. You've also got to do admin and advertising and marketing and follow up with customers and, you know, the customer interaction with some customers who are less than pleasant. And then, you know, if you've got complaints or feedback and all of that kind of stuff, it's yeah. not just putting the hood down and playing with a welder.
Yeah, it goes from a hobby, goes from fun, loving it, to just, full-time job. Mm. And, yeah, you've got all that marketing as well. And, yeah, it gets pretty serious then. So
with that, when it goes from being a hobby to being a job, how do you keep hold of the love of it? So I have lots and lots and lots of hobbies, and one of the reasons that I don't turn them into a job is because I don't want it to stop being fun. So how do you keep that? How do you keep the fun? How do you keep the joy when there's the added pressures of customers and meeting deadlines and, you know, trying to make sales, all of those things?
I'll be honest on this. I quit probably 3 months ago, 4 months ago. I remember speaking to my partner. I said, I've had enough. I'm not enjoying this anymore. It's gone. I can't think of what to make. I don't know what makes people happy. And I said, that's it, I'm done. And my partner was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And then the next day I had a phone call from a friend over in Victoria, said, I've got a gift for you. And it was a brand new plasma cutter. And I was thinking, wow, okay. Like, this has never happened to me before. And he sent it over to me, and he put a note in there, say, don't quit.
Aww.
Do not give up. And that just, I still wanted to give up because it was driving me insane, but then I knew I can't give up. There are some wonderful people out there. You just got to find them, and they can help you get through all this. And it took me a while, but I just kept going. Even though I wasn't enjoying it, I just kept going and going, and then looking at more what I wanted to make instead of what other people wanted me to make. So I was starting to learn again what I loved about doing metal art. And yes, and now I love it all over again. But it's just, I think, it can just ruin everything. And you just get tired. It's really emotional.
Yeah.
But just keep pushing. You just got to keep pushing, and then just keep doing what you want to do,
so,
not what other people expect you to do.
So what is it that you love about metal art?
I love it when I just start making something and I know where I'm going with it. And I can just switch off from everything and just know exactly what I'm doing. So a lot of the things that I'll make, I have no idea what I'm actually doing, but those pieces that I know exactly step by step on how it's going to go and it works out, that's just the best reward. I can see it, and I made that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the best feeling. Yeah.
How did you go selling your first piece? Like, I'm wondering, I'm assuming you were super excited because you sold something, and that's you know, what artists want to do. And also you really need to eat. But how did you feel about letting go of that piece?
So I was selling little tiny pieces, really cheap little pieces. But the first piece that I sold was my swordfish. And I ended up, I made a swordfish. I didn't even know why I made the swordfish. Things. And I thought, what am I going to do with it now? And I ended up finding the Swordfish Conservatory at Harry Butler Institute, Murdoch. And I just emailed them and I said, oh, would you like to have this on display? And I got a phone call probably 10 minutes later saying, yeah, definitely, we'd love to have it here and all that. And ended up sitting there for a year, and then I said, oh, it's time for it to come home. And they said, no, we want to buy it. And I was like, okay, cool. So I said, but there's some conditions to that. If I sold that to them, there's got to be my name on it in a plaque with all my details on it. So my children can see that. My grandchildren can see that. And that was the best feeling. That was the best feeling. It wasn't to do with the money. It was the fact that my kids are going to be able to show their kids.
And there's part of you that lives on outside of you.
Definitely, definitely. That was my goal for the first 5 years, and I got that within a couple of years. So I was really chuffed with that.
Oh, that's super exciting, especially for it to be your first sale and something that, it's going to be displayed that people can go and see, and it's got your name on it.
Yeah. Oh, and that was made from, I ended up getting a horse head. So it was learning how to make a horse's head out of sheet metal.
I was going to say, Naz, this is a metal horse head. This isn't a real horse head.
Yeah, definitely metal. And it came with instructions, but it was really, really hard. And I wanted to learn how to work with sheet metal, and it taught me a lot. So I ended up putting it on a metal art page on Facebook and saying, oh, I highly recommend anybody who wants to get into this, check out this, you know. And then I had one guy say, oh, it's like painting with numbers. Super simple. You should be learning how to do it from yourself. And I went, oh, okay, sod you. Yeah. And I went out and made a swordfish. I'll show you. And I made a swordfish out of sheet metal. And I just look at it now and it's, yeah, it was a cool feeling. So there's a lot more of a story to the swordfish.
Yeah. There's two sides to that. One is, you know, this is like painting by numbers. Well, so what? That's how people learn. And don't take away from it that you should learn this by yourself. Awesome. How? How do you just do that? As you know, I'm 41. I don't think I've even been in the room with a welder before. I've certainly never used one. I wouldn't know how to just make something from scratch. Like, so don't discount the fact that people are learning, but also, yay, because without that, you then wouldn't have gone and just made this and then have this piece that's now on display. So, yeah. So the guy's a knob, but also, yay.
absolute tosser. But critics can be give you your best work as well, so you can then show them, oh, hang on, I can show you. Some people might take that, be quite disheartened about it, but you can show them. You can definitely show them.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what have you still got a bucket list? What's on your bucket list as an artist, and what have you ticked off your bucket list?
I don't have anything on there at the moment. I'm just completely winging it.
Nice.
Absolutely just winging it and just going with the flow and just enjoying it and seeing what happens and seeing what comes to me. If somebody wants me, they can come to me. So it's that kind of thing. So I'm not putting too much stress on myself. I'm still loving my work. I'm putting it out there. Some people might not like it. Some people will, but I'm just having fun with it. So I've gone back into the hobby thing. But it's still a full-time business, so yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people seem to say with art is that you can get, you know, kind of the how do you maintain the passion for it. You can get so caught up in doing jobs for other people that you lose the joy because you forget to actually take time to do what you love. So keeping some of it as a hobby sounds like it might be part of how you maintain a passion, how you find joy in it.
Yeah, it's just a journey. This feels right. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if this is a gateway to something else. I might be woodworking in a couple of years. I don't know, but I'm just going with it, see what happens and enjoying it.
So we mentioned as part of your intro that you have PTSD and agoraphobia. Mm-hmm. How does that work? So how do you find that being a metal artist actually helps with that?
Marketing,
not so.
I'm slowly getting there, but I don't know. I have made pieces where I've had my full anxiety. So a lot of my work is my anxiety put into it, fear put into it, overthinking still putting into it, everything. So my art, it just isn't welded piece of steel together. There's a lot of emotion that goes into it. But it just makes me feel useful. As a mum, instead of just staying at home, doing housework and all that sort of stuff, but just doing something, showing my kids that I can be useful.
Showing yourself that you can be useful.
Yeah. Yeah. I was never good at school or anything like that. And I thought, what am I going to do? And yeah, so it's just obviously meant to be, I think.
Do you find that when you're actually working with the pieces that it helps calm the anxiety, or you can, you know, some of the PTSD may reduce while you're actually in the zone?
Yeah, and then it just turns into frustration.
I think that's healthier. I'm not sure.
it definitely helps me switch off. You still get really frustrated with it, but it just takes away the edge of the anxiety. So Yeah. But I'm doing exposure therapy as well. So now I'm branching out more. So I'm getting out more, meeting people, and I'm looking at that as exposure therapy. So I'm hoping it'll all work out.
Because I was wondering, with agoraphobia, how do you then go and do markets? Or I think I saw you were running a workshop, and I'm trying to think how I actually found how. I think you'd gone and given a like a presentation somewhere, so you count that as
Yeah.
exposure therapy.
Extreme exposure therapy, definitely. I haven't been game enough. It's funny, I haven't been game enough to do markets. I've been meeting people and going out a lot more. And then I had JC from Women on the Tools message me saying, would you be interested in running masterclasses? And I remember just throwing my phone in front of my partner, just going, oh my God, what do I do? And I just thought, well, I'll do it. What's the worst that can happen? And then I didn't really explain to her about it. And then a couple of days later, I rang her and said, look, I have anxiety, I have PTSD, agoraphobia. And she said, it's fine. You're in a safe place. Come down to see how you go. And yeah, so I did my second class yesterday, and it's great. I can switch off from it. It's too busy to have anxiety for some reason. It's just too full on. And I just want to make sure everyone else is happy in the class. So, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it was the Women on the Tools, which was where I had seen that you'd run that masterclass, I think the first one. So thanks for that reminder. I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. So you find that you enjoy teaching?
I'm learning more about people. I'm hearing their stories. I've hidden away from people for a very long time, and I'm seeing people differently now. So, and I'm meeting some fabulous women, some very strong, independent women. I'll have four strong, independent women in front of me watching me, and it's so intimidating, but it's great. I leave with the biggest smile on my face. It's fabulous.
So, and that must be interesting for you, for somebody who said that school wasn't your happy place and you didn't get on too well at school, to now be standing in front of people as the teacher.
I know. I'd like to give people this gift, this experience. You're either gonna love it or you're gonna hate it. But just to see their smiles on their faces and just to know what it's like and to get into metal art, it's just the best experience. It's great. And then I'm hoping I can teach them what not to do. I'm more than happy to give them tips and tricks. A lot of artists out there don't want to give out their ideas, tips and tricks. I think they want you to suffer and learn how they learn. I'm more than happy to share any of my experiences with anybody who would love to get into this.
Okay, I've got so many questions. One of them, I'm gonna go back a little bit to so you said that perhaps the art community has been less the hippie commune that you thought and more kind of power suits and battle royale. How do you find your community? How do you find your tribe when it feels like everybody's vying for the same customers? Or there are some beautiful artists out there who are really supportive and kind, but you're right, there are some that are, where this is competitive world, so they're not prepared to be supportive.
No, I was just meeting the wrong people. I had to stop and let them come to me, I think. And just meeting JC, that's just changed everything. And then I've met a lot of artists that are hobby artists, and they're great. But anyone that are in business and really competitive, it's like being at school again and they're hiding their work kind of thing. And there's me just being all jolly and not caring about that. And so I don't know. I don't know. It's quite a disheartening time sometimes. But there's a lot of really nice artists out there too,
Do you feel
definitely.
like you've found your people now? I mean, somebody
I
sent
think
you a brand new, I forgot what you said it was called.
he's in Victoria. I wish I could find more in Perth, definitely. But I know there are more out there. I know there are more. And if it takes another 5 years to find even one more, I'm happy with that, definitely. But I have my family as well. They're my people, they're on my side. So as long as I've got that, I'm very lucky.
I think the whole your vibe attracts your tribe type of thing. You clearly weren't going to gel with people who were out, elbows out and eye gouging to try and get business. So it's just trying to find the right fit.
And I can understand, because you need money. You need money in this. So I'm very lucky. My partner works full time. He's got a good job. I can do this. Yeah. I make enough to keep my business running now. And but I can understand why they're like that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah,
because like I said, you know, you have to eat and pay the mortgage and all rent and all of those things that just keep coming regardless of whether you've made a sale. Yeah.
I know, yeah.
How powerful do you feel when you're holding the welder?
No, I feel like it's mine.
Yeah.
Like I know that I can just be creating something magnificent. I've just got to get the confidence to make that thing that's magnificent. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I know I feel in power.
Yeah.
I know that that's what I love to do, that it just feels right. Yeah. Until it breaks, and then I've got to pay like $600 to get it fixed. And everything breaks. Everything's being repaired. And
that may answer the question I was just going to ask next, which was, what's the least exciting part about being a metal artist?
Oh, the cleaning. Oh, my poor shoulders and my wrists. So, yeah, I use gasless, and so it's not as clean, but I've always looked at it as like opening up a Christmas present. So you have just something covered in dust and you're cleaning it up and then you see it. But unfortunately, the cleaning part can take hours and hours and hours. And it's vibrating machinery and you feel it everywhere. So that's...
Oh, that doesn't bring me joy.
No, it's really, really dusty. Really dusty. I ended up cleaning up one of my pieces. I forgot to put my respirator on. It was a 2-second job and I had hot steel go shooting up my nose.
Oh!
So I ended up in hospital. And yeah, so I had to get drenched and everything. So,
oh,
so I always make sure I wear a respirator because it can go up there. The nurses, I think they thought like 1.2 by 2.4 meter sheet went up there the way I was explaining it, but it was just the tiniest little bit and it shot right up into my sinus passages. So.
Oh my God, that's awful.
And it burned. It was hot and it was burning. And yeah, a lot of people just said that can't happen. It did.
Oh, so you've been blinded and you've had your sinuses burned out. Any other accidents or injuries from it?
No, just the occasional burns, but they're like a wake up call kind of thing.
Pay attention.
So, yeah. I'm pretty safe. But yeah, I'll get the occasional. So down the boots, I'll get some slag go down there. You either get the ones that jump down there or you get the ones that just slide burn.
Oh, what's worse?
The slide.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can feel that keep going. You wait for it to stop and it just won't. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not sure you're selling it, so let's move to what's the best part about being a metal artist?
The best part about being a metal artist is meeting people. So, which I found 2 years ago, I wouldn't have said that. It's just meeting people and just being creative.
Yeah.
Just seeing what you're actually capable of doing. You know, I think there's a lot more things that I could be making. And I think a lot of people don't give themselves credit to their being artists of what they can actually accomplish. I think we can accomplish a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is the, have you got a piece of art that you have created that you are most proud of?
It's going to sound funny, but I probably think my stick figures. I don't know if you've seen my stick figures. People think stick figures, how simple, but they are my favorite pieces to break. Yeah. They are so fiddly and they are just a lot of fun.
But they've got so much personality and character.
They do. And you can, there's no limits to it. There's so many possibilities you can make.
Yeah.
I've made some that are quite naughty. I've made some a little bit controversial and that sort of thing, but they're just so much fun.
Yeah.
I can't stop making them. I would love to keep doing them all the time, but they're not really something that sells very well.
They might if you went to the market.
Yeah, I know. I know. It'll happen one day.
That's
maybe
it.
Be a gong.
Yeah.
You know,
add that to a bucket list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got anything that you think, oh, I'd quite like to try that, but I haven't, you know, for some reason you haven't?
Oh, there's so many things I want to try with metal.
Yeah.
There's so many different processes, and I mean, I'd love to start doing jewelry. So working with copper, and yeah, I've just got to try and figure it out. It's another thing to learn that's going to take another 2 years to learn. So I'm thinking maybe in summer, because I usually have 3 months off, that I might start learning how to make jewelry and just something a little bit less hot. So
And that was the
yeah.
other thing I was going to ask. Like, this time of year, I imagine that metal art must be amazing because it will keep you warm and it's been really, really cold. But
Freezing.
46 degrees sometimes, that's if it's not a total fire ban, which you most likely wouldn't be able to weld then anyway. But how do you cope with the heat?
I don't.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes I'll work in the mornings, but dehydration is just not worth it. It can take everything out of you, and then you've got more chance of electric shock as well. Your gloves are really wet and you're sweating a lot. So yeah, I'll do it in the mornings, probably till 11 o'clock, and that's it. So I don't get a lot of work done. So yeah, I look at it as 3 months off. I'm still working, but yeah, very minimal.
Just thinking, is this like the race car driver diet where you lose all the weight because of all of the sweating over?
I know, I should try it. I should try it. I should weld all summer and lose
Yeah.
20 kilos. That'd be great, because I put on 20 over winter.
Yeah. Let us know how that goes because you, like I said earlier, you weren't selling it too much. So maybe this could be a silver lining. So if there was some, whether it's young girls or, women of regardless of what their age is, and they were thinking, oh, I'd quite like to try this, but I've never even seen a welder, so I don't know how I would start. What would you say to them?
There's heaps of YouTube videos how to get started. So you need just the basics when you first start welding. So you can pick up machines now for under $300. And you can just pick up some gloves, you can go to a scrap yard, pick up some steel, and just make sure you learn all the safety requirements and all that sort of thing. But just go for it. The best thing for you to do is just start welding. Just start. That's the first step. And not be afraid of it. But there are places that do courses. So Women on Tools do basic welding courses. There's TAFE courses and that sort of thing. So if you're feeling quite unsafe with it, there are teachers out there who can explain everything. But you can start really cheap and you can just start creating. It's the bet. You have to start somewhere, and that's by starting.
Yeah. And there's no, are there any limitations that you go, oh, well, actually, this kind of person shouldn't do this?
I don't think so.
Good answer.
Unless they have no arms, I don't know.
Unless they have no arms, yeah. Fair enough, but we don't want to limit people. If you can weld with your
Don't know
feet,
if I
then you
can.
go for it.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I had a few older ladies yesterday in the course, and they were machines, absolute machines. And I think my mother-in-law, I think she thinks she's too old to do something like this. You're not too old to do it. My 8-year-old daughter welds with me. You're
I
not
was
too
going to
young to
ask
do it.
whether, yeah.
Yeah, as long as you're doing it properly and you're being very safe,
I was going to say, she's
then
well
yeah.
supervised. You wouldn't just chuck a 8-year-old out in the back garden and say, go for it the first time. But
No, no, no. But yeah, so it took a long time to get her to actually get the confidence to do it, because she was quite scared of it. And I've described her as a young Jedi with a lightsaber kind of thing. So, but she loves it. She absolutely loves it. But then she'll show tell me some days. I'll say, "You want to come weld with me?" She's like, "No, thank you." And then next day she might go, "Oh yeah, definitely." I don't know. I don't know what she wants to do, but yeah, she enjoys it.
How many welders have you got at home?
I've got three. I only use one.
Well, yeah.
So that's a yeah. When you start, just get the essentials, the bare essentials. Don't go shopping, skipping around the shops, buying things you're never going to use.
And I think that's the hard thing, isn't it? With pretty much every hobby, that's good advice. Buy the bare essentials and then add to it as you need. As you find out what you need, then you can add to it. But when you go in the shops and there's just everything's so shiny.
I know. I'm like, oh, that tool looks really cool. I don't even know what it is. I want it.
Yeah.
Never used
How many of
it.
those tools have you got?
Probably about six. So, used it once and it's just so bulky and it just takes up so much room. It'll get used again, but it just sits there.
Purely on principle because you've bought it, so you need to find a reason to
It
use
looks
it.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Anybody who's listening to this who's got a daughter or a wife or, a female in their life who might be interested, what advice would you give to them to help them be supportive? So what, I guess, what was the best support that you got from your family when you were getting started?
From my partner, definitely my partner. So when I lost my job with the sculptor, I came home and I was doing the crying. You know the crying when you see in the movies and the ones that you can't catch your breath on
Yeah.
and really
I call
emotional
that ugly
tears.
crying. Yeah.
Oh, the really ugly cry. Oh, terrible. I got home and I was just so upset. It just felt right working for this guy. And then my partner just said, "How about you start doing it yourself? I'll support you. And just start working from home and I'll support you doing this." And he supported me the whole way through.
Yeah.
And he tells me how it is, and he can drive me insane because he'll put his two cents into something. So there's a bird bath that I made, which is supposed to be a lady diving off the diving board into the pool. But he said, "Well, how's she supposed to get up there?" And so I ended up having to build this whole stair system
Oh my
and
God.
all this. His third bath took me, I think, 3 months to make. There's little people all around it. It's really cool. But yeah, he's helped me with my creative side. But then sometimes, yeah, he pushes me with the creativity part. Yeah.
Yeah, my so one of the things I do is photography, and my husband, very similar, he's very supportive, but he'll come out and he starts giving me hints and suggestions for different shots. I'm like,
Yeah.
you literally know how to take the lens cap off. That's it. And you're trying to tell me how to do my job. Like, can you back off? But he says it with such authority that I'm like, oh, right. What am I doing? So I feel your frustration.
He's great. He has helped me a lot, but then
Yeah.
like sometimes you go, oh, I've got an idea. I was like, don't say anything, leave it, leave, walk away, you
Yeah.
know?
I
Yeah,
love you, but I
yeah.
love you just that little bit more if you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apart from just telling people to just do it, what other supports do you think family and friends can give?
A shoulder to cry on, definitely, definitely. Lots of hugs. It's not just making metal art. You're learning about yourself as well. You're going to get really frustrated. There's going to be times where, I mean, this is my story, so anybody's story can be different. But I've never been an overly confident person. So you're putting everything into it, and it doesn't work, and you're so emotional, and or you hear somebody say something about your work, you need that person to be there for you. And I'm very lucky to have that person who will
Yeah.
just grab me and give me a hug and tell me it's okay, and to put up with all my shit over the years, you know, like just not being able to switch off and just talking to him about everything. I mean, the class I had yesterday, I didn't shut up for I think the next 6 hours telling him about it, but he's listening to me, and you know that's a hard thing to find. So you've just got to be there for that person and just be on their side and just comfort them when things get rough. But yeah.
That's, I mean, when you're just speaking about talking about the class that you ran for hours afterwards, that's a sure sign that you found something that you love when you're still excited about it, however many hours later. And, every time you've mentioned it, your face is lit up and you're smiling. So, I can feel the joy that teaching
Yeah.
that class brought you. So that's, it's really beautiful to see.
Yeah, nobody gave me a chance before, and to find someone who's given me a chance, and I had to take that opportunity up and just do it and see what happened. And
Yeah.
yeah.
What lessons do you think you have learned about yourself through metal art?
I'm not patient. I have zero patience. I have learned to be more patient. My partner says no, but I think I have.
You've got to have some patience. If you can polish or clean an item for hours, that's got to
Yeah.
take some patience.
Yeah. I think I've seen my patience grow over the past few years. I don't know. I don't
So,
know.
your creativity has increased, your patience has increased. Anything else that's kind of personal growth wise that's come out of this?
I've become a lot more confident in myself. So that's why I think maybe I'm starting to branch out there. Instead of just putting my metal art out there, I'm putting myself out there. And people are seeing me, which is really scary. So I put a challenge up. I'll do a video on my Facebook or something. And that's really hard to do. But I've put myself out there, not just my work. So it's confidence as well. I mean, I did a video of me. I don't know why, but I did a video of me on my Facebook putting dirt on my face. You know, some people do tutorials, makeup tutorials. I was getting myself ready for the day, putting dirt on my face. And I was just going through the story of what I did, and then so many people just like, what's wrong with this woman, you know? But then a lot of other people knew what I was doing.
Okay, what were you doing? Why were you putting dirt on your face?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It just came, I just thought, I'll make a fun video. So, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a huge, putting your work out there is huge. You know, the confidence that it takes and the vulnerability of actually putting your work out there, something that you've put your heart and soul into, and your anxiety and your frustrations, all of that, putting it out there for complete random strangers to criticize. I mean, that's the biggest thing, isn't it? That they're going to say that they don't like it, or they're going to say they hate it. That is huge and takes such courage and strength, but that pales in comparison to putting yourself out there for the same kind of potential criticism or the same kind of you know, feedback that you're going to get from total strangers. But also, what are my friends going to say when they see this? Are they going to think, you know, what are they going to think about it? What are, you know, all of that that goes with it. So that's huge personal growth to have the courage to put your work out there, but then to have the courage to put you out there as well.
It's intimidating. It's really, really scary. But I just, to grow, I think as a person, as a mum, as a partner, I need to put myself out there. It's all part of the therapy, I'd say. And just go out of my comfort zone. I've been in my comfort zone in my little bubble for a very long time. I've had agoraphobia for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
I got better. 4 years I spent locked in a house when I was first diagnosed. I didn't walk out the front door. So I don't want to get like that again. So I have to keep pushing myself to get out. And then show everybody my art and see if people like me as well. I don't know if people will. I'm a pretty random person, but what the hell, you know, you only live once. So
and that's huge, to go from not being able to leave the house to now standing in front of people and teaching classes.
That's... and they don't know that I have agoraphobia because I don't really know how to explain it.
Well, you don't wear a badge that says, hi, I'm agoraphobic.
I'd like to get a t-shirt made up one day. But I don't know what to write. But it's just too busy to be worrying.
Yeah.
So at the end, I might have a big anxiety attack because it's just been building up and building up. I am worried that I will have one. But if it happens, it happens, I guess. It's too big of a dream to let that worry me on that day.
I know you said that it's important to you that your kids see you being useful. How is it, does it occur to you, does it, you know, sort of cross your mind for your daughter to see her mum doing things that are predominantly like in a male dominated industry?
Yeah, definitely. I want her to see that she's capable of doing anything and everything. So I want her to succeed in life and not think that, you know, that's more of a male dominated job. And if she wants to do that, she can do that. There's no rules. You can do whatever you want.
That's it. I think let's not take away the kids dressing up as princess. I think if you want to, it's book week this week, which just seems to be getting bigger than Ben Hur. But anyway, you know, if you want to go dressed as a princess, then 100% you go for it. But if you want to go as 1 year, my daughter went as giraffe. But anyway, you know, it doesn't matter.
I find anything at Red Dot last minute. That you get dressed as that. Poor child.
You're going as a colander. Yeah. But, you know, so you can still be a princess. It's okay that girls still want to, like, a big white wedding and all of those things. But at the same time, if you want to get dirty and be a boilermaker or a, you know, metal artist or whatever, tire fitter, whatever that might be, it's okay to get dirty. So before we finish up, is there anything about metal art or about your journey so far, anything that I haven't asked about that you think, oh, this might be useful or interesting?
I just checked my notes. Oh. I did actually write a
couple of things. Oh,
okay. I'm trying to be organized. I am learning to be organized too.
How's that working for you?
Not very well. So I've got a few things. So I've always looked at things, if anybody wants to get into metal art, a lot of it was failures. So you have to look at it as not a failure, as a learning piece. So that's a very important thing. So if you keep thinking you're going to fail, you're not going to get anywhere. You have to look at it differently.
And much as it is, you know, a bumper sticker type of thing, I do like the saying, failure is first attempt at learning. And, you know, when you fail, you can learn from it. And there's so much you can learn from a failure.
Yeah. And I found that also, if I want to take a break, I can take a break. Mm. You have to be able to take a break from it. You can't just have this revolving around in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I might finish at 5 o'clock, but then I'm still thinking about it. I'll go to sleep, I'm still thinking about it. I wake up and it's like, nah, that's enough. And just switch off from it. That's a very important thing to learn.
Yeah. So one of the good things about metal art is that there's the noise restrictions. So you have to stop grinding at a certain time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that means you've got to stop physically being out there working. It doesn't mean that your brain goes, oh, okay, well, I've switched off the grinder, therefore that's it. I can go and, you know, I can turn my brain onto something else. So it does take a lot of skills to be able to turn your brain off to then, like you say, to be able to take a break. But I think really that's a really good message for anybody, regardless of what industry they're in. You can't pour from an empty cup. If you don't take breaks, then that's when you end up with burnout, and recovery from burnout takes a lot longer than people would anticipate. So try and avoid getting there rather than having to recover.
Yeah, I've had burnout quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's not nice. It's not nice, and it will just mess with your mind. And you need to look after yourself, definitely.
So what strategies have you got to be able to stop thinking about it?
Just walk away. Just walk away, start doing something else. Being in the house all the time, it's really annoying because I'd like to go shopping and I'd like to go for a drive in the car or by myself or something, and I can't do that. So the majority of the time I'll just scream in a pillow. No. Rock in a corner. But no, I'll just zone out and just start doing something else. I'll be trying to just get my mind just onto anything else.
Yeah.
Whether that's just on the phone, whether it's watching a movie, doing the washing, anything. So one day I will be able to go for that drive, and I think I'll feel a lot better being more independent. But at the moment I'll just try anything. And not wash up because that's the kitchen window and there's all my stuff. So,
or at the very least, draw the blind before you start washing up.
Yeah. Wait till night time and it's dark and then I can't see it all. But yeah.
Get somebody else to do it.
I know. I wish there was a metal art fairy that just come and do everything and or just tidy all my stuff up so I don't have to and do the washing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else on your list on your notes? Although the two things.
I don't think so. I hope I've been okay on this one.
No, it's fantastic. So thank you very much for joining me today. I have really enjoyed learning about metal art. And for a moment there, I was like, oh, I'd quite like to give it a go. And then I thought, oh, all of those burns, you're shooting up your nose. Oh, that's
no, you'll be fine. That's me going out and just wearing sneakers and being silly. So, yeah, always wear your proper PPE and you'll be fine. But you're always welcome to come and do a welding day course with us.
Yeah.
That would be great.
So I will put in the show notes. So it is The Maiden of Metal on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yep.
Fab. So they will be in the show notes. So if you do want to find out more about Kitty's work and the workshops that she's part of, then you can have a look at those. All the links will be in the show notes. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I really appreciate it. If you got any last thoughts before we close off?
I've also not mentioned publicly about my agoraphobia on my Facebook page, so you guys are listening to it firsthand. So it's quite a secretive little thing that I haven't brought out into the world yet. So, yeah.
And do you know, I really appreciate the fact that you trusted me enough to, you know, to speak about that, because actually sharing about agoraphobia and PTSD, anxiety, that's a really big deal. So thank you for sharing that, and I really appreciate it. So, and I really hope that if you know, if this gets shared, if you share this to your Facebook page and people hear it, that they will respond with kindness to that. And if people do hear this and they meet you in person, how would you like them to respond to the to agoraphobia or PTSD?
You can ask me anything you want. If you want to ask me, I'm coming to the stage where I'm just going to own it. And if there's anybody that's struggling or anything like that, I can possibly help you. I don't know, but feel free to ask me anything about it. It's something that's happening to a lot of people. Anxiety is just taking over the world at the moment. So
it really is. Well, fantastic. In that case, at the end of this series, will you come back and do an episode about agoraphobia?
Definitely.
Oh, fab. Definitely. I'm glad you said yes, because I'm recording
it. It's very personal, but if I can help others, I mean, maybe that's my destiny. I don't know. But if I can help other people avoid getting to how I am today, that would be great.
But saying that, where you are today, you know, that how far you've come in the last 15 years is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I will leave it there. Thank you very much for, you know, for sharing so much and so openly. I do really appreciate it. And, yeah, I will definitely have a look at your courses, and because you're just so close, it's just meant to be. All right. And I hope that if any, you know, if anybody who's listening to this is interested in learning more about metal art, then this is, or metal work, then this has given people some ideas around where they can start. So we've been speaking about what's available in Western Australia with the TAFE courses, but just Google it, where can I learn metal art? And like Kitty said, you can start on YouTube. Thanks so much, Kitty.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for today's episode of A Hidden World of Women, a podcast brought to you by Women's Health and Wellbeing Services. For more information on the services we offer, head to whws.org.au or Women's Health and Wellbeing Services on YouTube and social media. Looking forward to the next episode where we uncover the hidden world of women.